This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of December 23rd, 2018. Welcome and Merry Christmas and Happy Festivus too. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, the Is It Just Me commentary. Headlines from Cascadia and the Pacific Rim. The Big Deal feature, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, British Columbia style. And I'll award a virtual Nanaimo bar to those who deserve it. But first, is it just me? Is it just me, or what was that electoral reform referendum all about in British Columbia? It cost somewhere around $15 million for the third try to change British Columbia from a first-past-the-post province to a proportional representation province. Electoral reform is absolutely necessary. The system is broken. But 61% of the 1.4 million who mailed in ballots opted for the status quo. We are stuck with the labor versus free enterprise duopoly for the foreseeable future. It was no surprise that the BC Liberals were mustering their forces behind the No campaign and that BC NDP strategist Bill Thielman led the No campaign. It benefited from high-profile endorsements from ex-premiers like Ujjal Dosanjh and Glenn Clark. The half-hearted Yes campaign was led by Maria Dobrinskaya, formerly of Vision Vancouver. These were two different factions of the same party, with one trying for victory and the other not so much. Thielman made an unholy alliance with ex-BC Liberal Attorney General Suzanne Anton. He succeeded in stoking fear of change and by framing the referendum ballot and the proposed systems as both complicated and confusing. Therein lies the NDP's first mistake. The previous two referendums failed because the proposals were not so easily understood. It's a first rule of marketing to simplify your product and simplify your pitch. When NDP Cabinet Minister Melanie Mark was unable to do so, despite holding a political science degree, the Yes campaign was doomed. The whole exercise seemed to be designed to fail. Green leader Andrew Weaver was played for a fool. The NDP never wanted to give away its power to the Greens or any upstart parties that would have profited from a Yes vote. John Horgan took a calculated gamble to make himself the face of the Yes campaign in order to tick an important box in the NDP's 2017 accord with the Green Party, which helped it defeat the BC Liberals and take power in the legislature. So now it's up to British Columbians of all parties and all stripes to demand other types of systemic change, such as a better freedom of information law with a duty to document section and coverage of the legislature. British Columbians also need bottom-up, not top-down governments. Let's end the party discipline system and let's have less power in the Premier's office. And how about making it easier for citizens' initiatives? Just some ideas. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the Los Angeles Times, Andrea Castillo reports, migrant caravan in Tijuana hunkers down for the long haul. It was a sunny December afternoon, nearly 2 weeks after 2,500 migrants had moved into their latest home, El Barital, an abandoned concert venue that turned government shelter 30 minutes from the U.S. border, and a month since thousands of members of a roving caravan began streaming into this stressed border city. Some are determined to cross into the United States as soon as possible. The Mexican government says it has helped an additional 1,100 migrants return to their home countries. Others have taken jobs in local factories or are trying to scrape together a few pesos by selling food or clearing rubble at construction sites while biding their time. For those who remain, their chances of legally entering the U.S. diminished this week after the Trump administration and Mexico's government announced that immigrants seeking asylum in the U.S. will be forced to wait in Mexico while their cases are reviewed, a process that can often take well over a year. So, as authorities in both countries continue to debate policy with no long-term solution in sight, many migrants are hunkering down for months, or possibly years, in a purgatory of makeshift accommodations and spotty services. In the South China Morning Post, Su Xinqi reports, Taiwanese heavy metal band Sithonic, led by pro-independence lawmaker, cancels Hong Kong show over work visa issue. A Taiwanese heavy metal band led by a pro-independence lawmaker on the self-ruled island was forced to cancel their show in Hong Kong over the lack of a working visa. Hong Kong's immigration authority has yet to approve the group's application, more than a month since it was filed, according to Cantopop star Denise Ho Wan Che, who invited the band Sathonic to her four-day music festival in the city's Science Park. She announced the news on Saturday morning on Facebook and apologized to fans. In her replies to user comments, Ho added that they had anticipated such problems, saying, quote, "This is purely an exchange of music. What are authorities afraid of?" End quote. The five-member band was formed in 1995 in Taipei by lead singer Freddie Lim Shong-so, who founded the pro-independence New Power Party in 2015 after the Sunflower Student Protest Movement. He was elected as a lawmaker in 2016. In the Otago News, Sally Ray reports, "Outlook for lamb looks fairer for farmers." International lamb prices might soften a little, but tight supplies in New Zealand and Australia and a weakening New Zealand dollar should ensure any slippage at the farm gate is modest. That was the message from Westpac senior economist Anne Boniface in the latest Agri Update, where she outlined the outlook for lamb, which has experienced bumper prices. On balance, international prices were expected to slip a little from current levels as growth in China slowed and Brexit continued to weigh on the UK economy. But back at the farm gate, that was likely to be largely offset by an anticipated fall in the New Zealand dollar. Most recently, Australian farmers have been badly affected by drought, and while that boosted export volumes, in 2018, the Australian Bureau of Agricultural and Resource Economics and Sciences expected poor weather conditions would reduce the number of lambs available in autumn 2019. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. In the Peace Arch News, Alex Brown reports, "White Rock Pier repair will likely take months, cost millions," says mayor. Repairing and restoring White Rock's iconic pier, now in two segments following a vicious windstorm on November 20th, will likely take months and cost millions, according to Mayor Daryl Walker and City Fire Chief Phil Lemire. Lemire said that an approximately 100-foot-long section of the pier had been washed away, while a floating dock was still tethered to it by one end but had wound up wedged against the pier. Walker noted the storm had struck many communities in the region at some tragic cost of life. Quote, "The pier is just a piece of property," he noted. "We've lost something important to us, but we haven't lost any lives, and we can thank our lucky stars for that," he said. In the Kitsap Sun, Tad Suter reports, "Organizations, volunteers, aid Port Orchard tornado response." The tornado swept over the John L. Scott office in Port Orchard on November 18th, leaving the building untouched but devastated the neighborhood to the south. By the next morning, the brokerage had transformed into a volunteer coordination center, helping to direct the streams of people arriving to assist victims of the freak weather event. Businesses, charities, and individuals across the county, which is near Seattle, were quick to offer aid to tornado victims as soon as the storm had passed. Slaughter County Brewing and Bay Street planned to hold a benefit for tornado victims on Thursday evening, in conjunction with an already scheduled fundraiser for the Camp Fire Relief effort in California. That one place, a nearby eatery off Olney Avenue, served free meals to anyone affected by the twister. Families began trickling in Tuesday night and kept coming Wednesday, owner Craig Kennedy said. In the Oregonian, Shane Dixon Kavanaugh reports, "He loves Christmas. Police dog wearing Santa costume nabs three suspects in single night. He knows if you've been bad or good." A police dog nabbed suspects in three separate incidents during a recent shift, delivering some wanted gifts to his colleagues in the Washington County Sheriff's Office. Embracing the holiday spirit, Canine Stark hit the streets Thursday night and Friday morning clad in a red and white Santa Claus outfit. The three captures bring Canine Stark's career busts to 186, an office record. The three captures... His sartorial flair is also one for the books. In the past, the 7-year-old pooch had donned Halloween costumes, sported ugly holiday sweaters, and carried bouquets of red roses on Valentine's Day while on the beat. And in the Oregonian, Shane Dixon Kavanaugh reports, He loves Christmas. Police dog wearing Santa costume nabs 3 suspects in single night. He knows if you've been bad or good. A police dog nabbed suspects in 3 separate incidents during a recent shift, delivering some wanted gifts to his colleagues in the Washington County Sheriff's Office. Embracing the holiday spirit, canine Stark hit the streets Thursday night and Friday morning clad in a red and white Santa Claus outfit. The 3 captures bring canine Stark's career bust to 186, an office record. His sartorial flair is also one for the books. In the past, the 7-year-old pooch has donned Halloween costumes, sported ugly holiday sweaters, and carried bouquets of red roses on Valentine's Day while on the beat. And in the Breaker.news, you can read the annual public disclosure statements for each member of the British Columbia Legislature. Every year, MLAs are required to disclose to the Conflict of Interest Commissioner what they own and what gifts they received. The Commissioner, Paul Fraser, then prepares a summary that is available publicly at the Clerk's Office. The Breaker was first to publish all 87 of the 2018 disclosures. Richmond, BC Liberal MLA Teresa Watt, the multiculturalism critic, disclosed a nearly $8,000 junket to Hong Kong for an agri-food and trade summit about China's Belt and Road infrastructure program. Premier John Horgan disclosed $1,500 worth of tickets to a Vancouver Board of Trade appearance by former First Lady Michelle Obama. BC Liberal leader Andrew Wilkinson has a nearly $2,000 membership to the Union Club in Victoria. Meanwhile, 19 MLAs from ridings outside Victoria reported residents in the capital region. For those that own their residences in Victoria, they can claim a $19,000 capital city allowance each year. Go to thebreaker.news and read all the reports, plus many other stories that you will see nowhere else. This is a special holiday edition of the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.news podcast. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through Wally, Mayor Doug McCallum was picking some holly. He grinned and combed his thinning hair, in the hopes that a new SkyTrain would soon be there. He said the lights and decorations so spangly, someday I can take this all the way to Langley. First I must cancel the RCMP lease, so that we can get a new police. He's got a new ally in Vancouver's case too. That's what millennials call him, is that true? Gregor is gone after a decade in power, a new chap in charge to rubber stamp more tower. Kennedy Stewart got national attention protesting a pipe, then found in contempt for expressing his gripe. Won by 957 votes over Ken Sim, but for the NPA, it wasn't all grim. 5 female councillors elected, while vision was soundly rejected. Jeff Meigs is happy he got out early to help John Horgan appear less surly. ICBC's a dumpster fire, casinos flush with dirty money. The province's problems aren't so funny. It turned out pro-rep wasn't so lit. To a corruption inquiry, Horgan won't yet commit. While Horgan's a fan of lacrosse, the BC Liberals picked a new boss. Wilkinson from Quilchina, he's not blue-collar, but he's a tall former Rhodes Scholar. A surprise came in December, a famous community member. The world was intrigued, yes it was true, Huawei Princess Meng Wanzhou. Accused of fraud by Uncle Sam, bailed with conditions so that she won't scram. China is angry, Xi Jinping outraged, so 2 Canadians were arrested and caged. The Middle Kingdom, all propaganda and tricks, dueling with Trump to master geopolitics. Meanwhile, Justin Trudeau and his ways so sunny, his trip to India and those costumes so funny. Andrew Scheer planned to be PM in waiting until Maxime Bernier turned up the baiting. Will Jagmeet Singh win the Burnaby South vote to keep his NDP leadership afloat? Well, that's it for 2018, my friends. May 2019, the new year, pay dividends. Hope and pray for a better plight. Happy Christmas to all, and to all, a good night. Every week we end the Breaker.news podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar, courtesy of Spruce Hill Contracting, to people who make a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to you. Yes, you. Thank you for sharing your time with me by reading the Breaker.News and listening to the Breaker.News podcast. Tell your friends, tell your relatives. With your help and with theirs, someday I want to buy every one of you a real tasty Nanaimo bar. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Merry Christmas to Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Go to sprucehill.ca for more information. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of December 23rd, 2018. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on December 23rd in 1986, the Rattan Voyageur became the first aircraft to fly around the world without stopping? Dick Rattan and Jana Yeager were at the controls. The Voyageur spent 9 days, 3 minutes, and 44 seconds in air and flew 40,212 kilometers. Of course, children everywhere know that Santa Claus holds the unofficial record for flying around the world in one night. He does it every single year on December 24th, thanks to supersonic reindeer. Now you know. Send me your feedback, send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. Thanks to those who have donated $10 or more on Patreon, such as Barbara May, Daryl Greer, Elvio Chiez, James Platt, John Kennedy, Mondi Redman, Kwan Lee, Randy Sogstad, and Spruce Hill Contracting. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week, may your Christmas be peaceful and bright.
It's a Festivus miracle!